Welcome to Level Up and Live, the podcast where we explore the secrets to thriving relationships and personal growth. I'm your host, Sean Myers, joined by my co-host, Ewan Heinemeier. And today, we're diving into a crucial topic, why you should never take your spouse for granted. Join us as we uncover strategies to strengthen your connection and nurture your partnership. Learn how prioritizing your relationship can lead to greater happiness and fulfillment for both you and your spouse. Get ready to transform your relationship and level up and live.
Happy wife, happy life. It's a saying, I don't know, I've heard it 100 times over the last 5 years. I don't know if that has been a saying for, you know, forever, but I just feel like I've heard it so many times and it's almost kind of gotten numbed out. Oh, happy life, happy wife, like happy wife, happy life. And but the more I think about that, the truer and truer it gets. Whether it's your business, a sport you play, your other relationships, your friends, your business, your job. If your relationship with your wife is not good, everything else is impacted. There's just no version of you not having a good relationship with your wife and everything else being great, because who do you come home to? Who do you sleep next to in your bed at night? Who do you experience the highs and the lows with? Your wife, right? And I'm talking from a man's perspective, and for women, it is your husband, right? Like your husband is there. So it's the most important relationship that we'll have physically here on this planet. And today we just thought it was such a big, important topic to discuss that I wanted to dive in, I've worked very hard on my marriage, and I will just say right now, I've been a terrible husband at times, right? And Sean, I think you would say, hey, there was some work to be done at certain points.
Yeah.
100%. Yeah. And to me, here's what I want to say, is that if you had asked me 10 years ago, you know, are you a good husband? I'm like, I'm a great husband. Just ask my wife. She'll tell you, you know. And if you had asked her, she probably would have said, yes, he's a great husband. But I don't think there might've been a hint of sadness in the back of her mind. You know what I mean? Without her even possibly knowing that. Right? Because there's elements that I have realized myself over time that I'm like, oh my gosh, I didn't know I was doing that. I didn't see this. I thought I was good there. And I just wasn't. I remember like realizing these things as I went, it's like a punch in the stomach. Like, oh my goodness, I am horrible at that. Right? And so over the last, and now I'll also caveat, I am no expert at this yet. I'm not some husband guru, but over the last 18 months to 24 months, I've really honed in on what am I missing? That's the question I ask the most. Where am I not showing up for my wife? Because I have to ask, because I'm not innately knowing. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sean? Like, do you resonate with what I'm saying?
Yeah. You don't want to keep talking for the next 20 minutes, man, because I'm loving this, brother. You're on fire, man.
I'm pouring my soul out here, you know, but yeah. That's all, you know, vulnerability. This only helps by sharing, right? Because what I've noticed for myself, I'm like, dang, what other wives are going through this, right? What other husbands think they're the best husbands right now, putting their hand up, oh, I'm a great husband. I go talk to their wife. Give me 5 minutes with their wives and I'll be able to tell them, like, I'll find out real fast. That guy is completely oblivious, totally doesn't know what's going on, thinks he's a good, and here's the thing, it's not deliberate. I won't say this isn't like some malicious attack. It is that men in general we're very self-conscious, right? We're very selfish, not in the mean sense, but we just think about ourselves. We're number one. Our wives support us. Think about that statement right there. I hear that so many times. Oh, my wife supports me. Man, that is a major indicator that you might not be who you think you are in your relationship, right? Because your wife is not a supporting role. She is a main character. She is the main character. And a good leader, good husband should be the supporting role for the whole family, right? But it doesn't work like that. Over, you know, you look at the 50s, man goes out to work, woman stays at home and looks after children, does the cooking, man makes all the decisions, right? Like that's the stereotypical. And that is just, I think, could be hell on earth for a wife. And look at that, right? So the husband is not living the best that he could be living because the wife is not truly engaged, not truly happy because the husband is not leading from a place of raising everybody up as opposed to serve me, look after me. I'm number one, right? And I've talked a lot, Sean. So you you say something.
Man, you hit the nail right on the head, and great intro on that. And it, I thought a couple of things, and one of the things, you know, this podcast, right? It's level up and live. It's not stay stagnant, stay complacent. And to me, it's like in these different areas of life, in relationships, spirituality, they're one and connected. And so one of the things that I have realized about myself is here in the last decade of building a business, building team members, building up other people, even my wife in general, is we've been so focused on everybody else, right? And these five key components that we're going to go over today that I feel like talking behind the scenes with you, Ewan, are something that I challenge myself with, something that I struggle with, and something that I consider not only setbacks, but they're obstacles as well, because I don't naturally show up this way. And like you said, I've had to put in the work. I've had to, here's the key word, be intentional about these five things that we're going to be sharing today. And the first one is communication. See, communication, where focus goes, energy flows. And one of the things that I've always struggled with over the years is effective communication. And the funny thing is, here recently, I've even tried to level up even more. I've even tried YouTubing effective communication and dive deep. It's funny because your ears just lit up. You want to dive into that, don't you?
I do, dude. Really?
But effective communication. And there's always things to be worked on because we only have 24 hours. You know, we only have 24 hours in the day. And it's like, what are we doing with that time? And if you was to ask me 2 years ago what I was doing with my time, I was reading personal development books. I was reading how to market, how to sell, how to grow a business, right? What other time was I left focusing on my spouse? What other time was left with learning how to effectively communicate with my spouse, you know, and not be reactive and be proactive in situations where we're angry, lonely, tired? I wasn't prepared. I wasn't equipped. I didn't have the tools, the resources when these times arised, and they did. It's not if, but when, right? And so that's what happened to me is I struggled for up until about 2 years ago where I was like, dude, I'm up against the wall. Sure, these other areas of my life are optimizing in their health and fitness, you know, and building a business. But man, there is some disconnect between me and my wife. And so who do I need to become? Where do I need to surround myself with? Who do I need to surround myself with? And who do I need to reach out to? Where do I need to plug myself into? And I was asking myself these questions because it's like we talked about in our title, right? In our word copy is that with, like you said earlier, Ewan, if the relationship is not good, I was going to say okay, right? That complacency, I feel like the word okay is just not.
Yeah. Okay is terrible.
Okay is terrible, right? And so I'm like, if it's not improving, if it's not working on deepening that connection, then there's a problem. That's a red flag. And that's the way I look at it. So I'm like, how can I improve? Who do I need to become? And what I soon realized 2 years ago is like, I am way off the beaten path. Mm. And this is not okay. My stomach was sick. And if to society and everybody that had asked me like, oh, how's the relationship? Oh, it's good. And it's funny because even people to this day, Ewan, we hear it all the time in our community. How's your relationship? Oh, it's good. Yeah. Right. And I'm like, I said the same thing, but that's just a surface level answer. If you really dive deep, right? The intimacy, the communication, the active listening, these things that we're going to be going today, really assess yourself because man, I wish I would have assessed myself a lot deeper in these five key components, prior to 2 years ago. I've been married to Kendra for 12 plus years. Together for 12 years, married for 6. What if I would have started doing this 12 years ago, right? Where we would be today.
Yes. Well, in communication, you know, so we're not going to give a masterclass on communication today, but this is a just check yourself episode with your spouse, right? Husband and wife, right? And wife, think about how you show up for your husband too, right? But with communication, there's a surefire indicator. There's certain topics that if you can't talk about without it going south very quickly, there's a communication breakdown. That is an indicator you're not able to, let's say it's money, right? Money is a surefire, like I think they say that's the number one reason for divorce. Like people just don't know how to communicate over money because people feel restricted. Well, it's just a lack of communicating because everybody wants the best, right? For their finances. Everybody wants the best for their children. you know, whatever it is, if whatever they're communicating about, and who knows what it is, if it ends up in harsh tone or raised voices, communication issue. Right? There's something to be looked at there. So if you're experiencing that in your relationship, I know I do. If I start raising up, I go away and think to myself, I can't control what she's going to do. I can only control what I do, how I respond, how I communicate with her. And if I level up, the hope is that she will too. And she always does, right? Because we have that understanding. And I know you guys, you do that too with Kendra, you know? So yeah, communication, it all starts there. Nothing happens without it. So, okay. So you communicate. What is some of the key elements to good communication? That leads to our point two, which is active listening, right? So there's hearing and then there's listening. Hearing is, you know, they say whatever they're saying just so you can get your turn to talk. And it's a surefire way to lose. Hand up. I do it all the time. My brain thinks very fast. I think I know what people are going to say. P.S. fellas, don't act like you know what your wife's about to say, because you can't possibly know. You could be 99% correct. You might even be correct. Might. But might's not good enough. What if you're wrong? What if you're wrong the vast majority of the time? You're constantly messing up what you think she's trying to say. So you're already trying to respond to what you think she's trying to do. So it's active listening. What is she really trying to say? What is the tone? Where is she actually trying to go with saying that thing that she just said? What is she really trying to tell you? Is she frustrated? Is she confused? Is she scared? Right? So she might be saying you blah, 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 blah. Right? But really, what is she saying when she's pointing a finger saying you? Right? She's trying to communicate something. Right? So active listening. And I know you've done a lot of that, Sean, right? Like I know you've spent time on it. Like how do you do it?
Yeah, it's been super tough, man, because I'm one of those individuals, like I'm trying to, and you haven't said it yet, but solve the problem. Right. Yes, as soon as I hear, I'm like,
that's what men do. Give me a hammer. I'll hit that nail.
I got you. I solved the problem. And that's one of the things that I've really had to be, again, use the word intentional. Right. Yes. And so when I start active listening, one of the things I use this term and this wordage a lot is poise and humble and in the pocket. I like using in the pocket and thinking about Tom Brady. When Tom Brady takes that snap, what makes him so great, right? Well, he's coming back in the pocket. He's got all these big guys, 200, 300, 400 pound guys coming at him, right? He's his world, not World Series, that's baseball, World Championship or Super Bowl.
I love high rocks. How much you don't know or care about sports because you're too busy living your life. I love it.
But I study Tom Brady. I study people that do it great, right? And so he remains poised, humble, calm. Well, how does he do that, right? It's because of number of reasons, right? He's focused. He's in his head. He's being intentional about it. He's making it a priority. He's focused on his breathing and he's done the work behind the scenes. I look at it the same way. When my wife's talking, and my wife is very strong. She's got a very strong personality. I'm not just talking to somebody that's, you know, on the opposite spectrum of that. I'm a strong personality. She's a strong personality. Well, if you know anything about strong personalities, when they're around each other, we build each other up or we tear each other down. Simple as that. Mm-hmm. We can either...
Which way do you want to go?
Exactly. Which way do you want to go? It's not in the middle. It's either north or south. Mm-hmm. And so when I listen to her and I'm like, oh, I can solve this problem, right? I've had to really work on it, man, and go slow, calm down, poise, focus on my breathing and search the North Star here, right? Like, Sean, you've been here. You've been in this moment. It's time to execute. You need to active listen. You need to listen to what she's saying. Receive it. Tell her. Repeat it. Mirror it back. So what I'm hearing you say, babe, is this. And then as soon as I mirror what she said, automatically I can see her just drop a little bit, right?
I want to just add in before you continue there is what you just said right there is what I'm hearing you say is you do that so well. You do that so often because that's a perfect way to clarify if you're on the money or not, because a lot of the times you're like, well, no, that's what you heard, but that's not what I actually was trying to say. I was trying to say this. Ah, I see. Thanks for checking in. Thanks for letting me, because I misheard then. As opposed to, well, I heard you say this and blah, blah, blah. You're saying, so what I heard you say was this. Yes. Is that correct? Is that accurate? No, it's not accurate. Oh, well, help me understand more. Oh, yeah, that is accurate. Thanks. Man, I'm sure she feels heard and understood. Right? Like, which is beautiful. So yeah, that would be one of the key like tactical things that everyone, I've heard you do it and I'm trying to do it more myself, but what I heard you say was those words, right? They are super important, but yeah, keep going.
It just keeps me grounded, right? Having a strategy and that's what I would encourage. And that's what helped me, right? Because before that, our communication was all over the place, right? And we didn't have the tools, we didn't have the resources, we didn't have the tips and the tricks and these different types of strategies, right? Early and often. And we would just blow up. We would just escalate and we would just, gasoline and fire. And so now being able to go to these, right? And what it does is it brings the resting heart rate down, right? It can go from 120, 130 and it can bring it back down to 100. And let's have an adult, poised, humble conversation right now. And I'm the leader in the marriage. I've got to show up this way. And maybe, somebody listening to this was where I was 2, 3, 4, 5 years ago and, tried everything in the book. Well, then to me, it's like you got to take a step back and it's like, okay, how? And then at that point, because for me, it was my tone, right? It's like, oh, I can say this, but how's my tone? How's my body language right now? That was another thing, Ewan, is like, what is my body language? Like you can active listen all day long and mirror, but if you're sitting here like
this, aggressive,
exactly,
you bowed up. Yep, it's gonna, because we're bigger, right? Especially with the wives, like we're intimidating. They couldn't overpower us, right? So there's a certain element that's unsaid, like, okay, even if they win this argument, like there's always going to be that factor. So I think body language is huge.
Yeah. And one of the things that I thought about and before we move on to this next one is we went through this, you'd brought it up before we started the podcast, we went through this, it was about 2 years ago. And I was like, all right, enough's enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. All these other areas of my life, I've been able to bring up the baseline, be the best, become the best version of myself. How do I become the best version of myself, a husband in my marriage, right? Well, I don't know all the answers. I had to reach out for help, just like we preach, just like we teach, right? And so I had to reach out for help. This was uncomfortable for me, man. There was uncertainty. I was uncomfortable and I struggled being around and sharing my issues and my problems with other people. Mm. What I soon realized, Ewan, is that I wasn't alone. Everybody's experiencing the same, similar issues.
It doesn't matter your personality type. It doesn't matter who is who. It's one human being with another human being a lot.
Yeah.
Right. That's going to cause issues no matter what. Jesus had people constantly like arguing with him, like trying to get him. You know what I mean? This is Jesus we're talking about. So if people are showing up like that around him, okay, we're all going to have issues, Of course, he handled it well, but he's our example.
Yeah. So I went through this. So I said, okay, where do I need to plug myself in? So we had, we're again, referencing Tom Brady. Does Tom Brady have coaches? Does he have counseling? Does he have therapists?
The most.
You're shaking your head. Yeah. For those that are not on video and audio. Yes, absolutely. He has all these things. Right. And so I was like, all right, well, you know what? Who do I need to surround myself with? Well, that's counseling. Okay, cool. Let's plug ourselves in. Well, so we plugged ourselves into counseling and we started putting one foot in front of the other. We started learning the light was shed on different perspectives because what you don't know is what you don't know. And if you're trying to do everything on your own, good luck, right? It's a recipe for disaster. So we did biblical counseling, right? And it was related to biblical Christianity counseling. Mm-hmm. And then that led us to Re-Engage, which is the 16-week program, which was a phenomenal program. It was something I'd never done in my entire 30 plus years of my life, but being around, other individuals that were going through the same thing. And we all go through it, right? One way, shape, or form, whether you deny it, whether you're delusional about it or not, right? Mm-hmm. And so once we got into these environments and we all wanted to improve our marriages, we were going through the curriculum. It was funny because 2 months in, I was like, oh man, we do this pretty good. And you're reflecting and you're dissecting things. And then we got to the place of communication and active listening. Mm-hmm. And me and Kendra both looked at each other. We were so engaged. We're like, this is what we've been looking for this entire time.
Beautiful.
And so we dove deep on that and we worked on that and we did the homework, we did the exercises, and still to this day we're intentional about it and we implore some of these strategies and tips and tricks. But
I noticed Kendra has changed as a person since you guys going to that. Like she's, and I want to say it was since you guys did that, like she seems so much calmer and trusting and loving towards you. And like you said, big personality, bold, strong person, right? And for you to be able to get her to a place of security and safety, it was beautiful. It's amazing. And that's leadership, right? And she obviously had to put all the work in herself too. But man, it was a beautiful thing to watch. And it's funny because, you guys already had a great relationship going into that. to re-engage, right? And so a lot of the couples there were really struggling. You guys weren't really struggling. You were going there to level up even more. You're like, okay, where else can we get awesome, right?
Yeah.
And so you still discovered some things, right? Like, which we will be discovering things when we're 80, right? Married to our spouses for 80, we're still going to be trying to get better. You're not done, right? It's all, it takes forever. So I just think that was a, just commend you for both of you guys for doing that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree with you more on that, man. It was interesting because we went into the re-engage and there was actually, we said, we were like, everybody was like, well, what do you, you know, you went around, you filled out this questionnaire. And one of the things, you know, there was a lot of things that that they were asking about. I mean, some of it was pretty intense stuff, right? Like betrayal and affairs and all this other stuff. And we're like, we haven't done any of these. And so we were like, what's our place here? And it was, we felt really out of place. And so there was other couples, there was another couple in there that kind of said the same thing. We're like, oh, our marriage is great. In my mind, I'm like, well, I'd never say our marriage is great, right? Because the way my mindset works, and if you're listening to this, level up and live, right? What to me, that means like, it's never going to be perfect. It's never a destination. There, we are evolving human beings. Your wife, myself, we're all evolving.
Yeah.
Who you married 15 plus years ago, Kelly Heinemeier,
yeah,
is not the same person. Totally it's not different. The same individuals. You are not the same person. Me and Kendra are not the same. So we are evolving. We are adjusting our personalities, our temperaments. Everything is changing. So if you're saying, and this was me, if I'm saying that, yeah, everything's good, everything's great, then that's a complacency mindset. And I know in order for me to continue to level up and live my best life and become the best version of myself, I will have to always, for the next 10, 15, 20, 30, 40 years until I'm dead, be able to plug myself into church, married life, programs like this, and continuing to be intentional, because that's my North Star. That's my purpose, is to become the best version of myself. I will never be perfect because I am evolving. You are evolving human being that is listening to this, myself included. So we have to continue to plug ourselves into those environments.
You can almost assume every decade, probably a lot more than that, probably for 5 years, but every decade at minimum, 20, going to be different. 30, you're going to be different than when you were when you were 20. 40, you're going to be different than when you were when you're 30. 50, you can just imagine in your mind, there's no way you're going to be the same at 50 as you were at 40, 60. You're just going to be different, 70. So if that's safe to say, then yeah, what you're saying, you've got to keep expecting that things will shift, right? Our hormones change, our experiences, things that happen to us, age, wisdom, right? All those things happen. And so, yeah, we're going to be different people. And man, but I tell you, I know married couples that have been married for 30, 40, 50 years, bickering. Still bickering. I one of the things I can see when a wife, like a, you know, 50, 60 year old wife, the husband says something and the wife will almost do like a snap, like a, and you can all see them bickering in public, like, and they're trying not to show it, but you know, there's an underlying lack of communication, not been working on that. Like, why would it erupt so quickly? I've saw it was a while ago, a couple I know, and they're, well, I think they're late 60s, early 70s, and they mentioned something about directions. And he was like, no, it's to the right. She's like, no, it's like this. And it was like sharp, violent kind of words. And I was like, whoa, that's got nothing to do with the directions, man.
Yeah.
There is some frustration behind their communication, you know? So I was like, I don't ever want that. You know, I don't ever want to, if I'm bickering, if my wife ever acts like that, I know I got work to do. I'm causing that. That's a reaction from something I've been doing, and I need to go figure it out. Right, I'm the leader. It's on me to figure that out. Right.
Yeah.
Which that comes to our third point, empathy. Which I'll say, like you said, hey, well, I'm not great at that, and so you know, I'll ask you some questions. But I think, like we said, you've worked on it. It's hard for you, and you've actively seek to be empathetic. Which I think like it's super commendable, because if you're not something, it's very difficult to become that and you're very self-aware.
Yes.
And so I think that's, yeah, what is empathy to you? Like if you were to put it into words.
For me, it's about being empathetic, right? And so the first word that I put in my mind is like, okay, I need to put myself in their shoes right now. I need to be understanding. And that's one of the things that's, it's always been like in the past, my way or the highway, right? And so, which I know where that got me. It was unfulfilled, I've already shared that on previous episodes, but empathetic is like, okay, not everybody's Shawn Myers. You and Heinemeier is not even Shawn Myers. You know, even, you know, not everybody's this guy. And so empathy is allowing me to go slow to go fast, put myself in the other person's shoes and understand where they're coming from. Now, here's the thing. My temperament, my personality, the way I show up every single day, my strengths, I know who I am. And empathy is something that I have to work on so freaking hard, right? It's like going into my kitchen. If there's a donut in there, if I am not like willpower, I'm done. I'm eating that donut, right? Mm-hmm. So I have to put systems and processes in place for empathy. And what I mean by that is that if I know that I struggle with empathy because I'm a like, whether that's a trigger, whether that's a snap of a finger, whether that's my, you know, I react really quick. I make decisions really quick. I react really quick. And what I mean by that is in the past I have, now I take my time. I'm like, okay, before you, what comes out of your mouth right now, put yourself in their shoes. Mm. Prime example, me and you going into the High Rocks, right? Mm-hmm. I have to continually be intentional. Like Ewan hasn't been training like I have for the last 3 years. I need to put myself in his shoes. I need to be empathetic and be careful, be cautious on what I say, because I could push him beyond, you know, what it is.
I felt that and it was a huge impact for me because I knew you were doing it. Like I knew you were being empathetic because I could feel it. You were
very tough.
And I tell you, it made me want to walk across glass, right? As opposed to the other version of that, it's like if the opposite of empathetic, you're thinking from your perspective, a guy's thinking from his perspective with the wife, like, no, you need to be X.
Yes.
But then that wouldn't work, right? Because then it's not coming from a place, they're not doing it out of their decision or their love. But when you open that space, you create a space for me to be free, and it made me want to push harder, right? Yes. So it's like the opposite of what you do gets you the opposite of what you want, right?
Well said, well
said. That's true for everyone. That's true for me in all kinds of areas. Like there's countless areas where I'm like, oh, if I do this, I'm going to get that. And I don't want that. I want this. So I need to do that. Right. So, and it takes self-discipline, right? It takes control, system, process, and reps, lots and lots of reps. And so, yeah, commend you for that, dude. Cause I know it meant the world to me that you were that for me on that day.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Thanks for that. Leading into our fourth and final one is the forgiveness, right? So, I have some thoughts on that. What are your thoughts on forgiveness? So,
yeah, man, I think, you know, it starts with communication, right? So nothing happens without communication except bad things, right? Because if you don't communicate, nothing goes anywhere. You actively listen in the communication side of things. You have empathy, so you're understanding their perspective.
Right.
And to encompass all of that, right? Because there's going to be things that we do wrong, we messed up. And if we don't forgive, what's the opposite of forgiveness? Grudges. Right.
Yeah, within.
Like you're holding on. Yeah. And that is drinking the poison, hoping your enemy dies. Right. Mm. And so for me, forgiveness is whatever it is, you have to forgive them because you need forgiveness too.
Yeah. 100%.
For all the things that you might have done, right? That we don't want to admit to, or that we can be like, well, there was a reason behind me doing that. I can justify the things that I've done. Right. But I'm going to hold them accountable. I'm going to keep, I'll not forgive them until we've squeezed, until they suffer, until they know, till they've earned, you know, some kind of forgiveness. And everything I just said right there, how could that be a beautiful thing? How is that a space for someone to thrive and be the best version of themselves? How are you leveling? How are you creating a space to level somebody else up? Well, it starts with forgiveness, right? We all need it. So we all need to be giving it. And it's not a forgive and forget, right? Like it's not like you don't allow people to continue to abuse, but it's forgiveness from the perspective of this is what has happened. It's too late, right? That thing has happened. What am I going to do? What options do I have? What way can I be that's going to make this better, right? Like for all parties involved. And so I think forgiveness is just so huge. And trust, connection, and bonding really comes from forgiveness, and it really allows you to level up together as a couple. You know, that's what forgiveness is to me. What about you?
Yeah, I love that. And one of the words that I heard you say and that I received was trust, right? Mm-hmm. And so to me, I think there's a fine line, right? It's like you said, not forgetting, but also forgiveness, right? Because so many times, like I feel like in my own life, and I'm talking to myself, is that sometimes we're repeat offenders, right? And this can be anything, right? Somebody that shows up late. If they're showing up late, what's the trend? What's the track record? They're showing up late in other places. And so if there is a repeat offender, how often are you asking yourself for forgiveness? Is it for the same thing? Because if so, there's going to be trust broken there because of the track record. Does that make sense?
Yeah, totally.
And so I think it's important to be intentional and be aware of that. And I'm so talking
you can't
to myself.
Allow abusive. You can't, because that would be forgiving. And because then, you know, a husband that is cruel to his wife and she just keeps forgiving him. Well, that wouldn't be right. You know what I mean? And vice versa. A woman is mean and harsh with her husband and he just continues to let her do it. Oh, I'll just forgive her. Right. That's not productive, right? That's not going anywhere. That's encouraging bad behavior, right? It's encouraging the relationship to go south, and that's not what anybody wants. So yeah, forgiveness is not just letting people do whatever they want. You know, it's a very specific, structured giving of energy, right? Like, I'm going to stop feeling this way about what it is that you have done. I'm going to stop that, and I'm going to allow myself to forgive you, and that should open up a space on their end to not do that again.
Yeah. Right. Prime example is, like, there's been times where, like, me and Kendra will be in environments, like with our friends or our community or team members. And then, again, going back to knowing ourselves, knowing oneself, is we are strong personalities. I understand Kendra, like, she's a very strong personality woman, and she just basically says what's on her mind, right? She's not being intentional. She's not being in spite to try to embarrass me. But there's been things in the past where I'm like, deep down inside, I'm like, that just embarrassed me, right? Yeah. Like, I didn't want people to know that around me. And so I would talk to her behind the scenes and I'd be like, hey, just want to let you know, I'm struggling with this. And I hope, moving forward, this is how it made me feel. And so we'll talk about it. We'll work through it. And then automatically, this is where the forgiveness, right? And so
that's a masterclass that you just said right there. I hope people are listening to that. What you just said, it's so easy to brush over that, but either people's jaws dropped hearing that, or they just totally whiffed. But you go to your wife after the fact and say, hey, I am struggling with this, and I'm just letting you know. And she says, okay, great. I didn't know that. Thanks
didn't
for
know
letting
that.
Me know.
Didn't know that. Yep.
And it won't happen again. Thanks for letting me know. As opposed to you blah, blah, bleep, bleep. How could you to me? Don't ever, ever do that again, or you will suffer. Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
Where's that relationship going? Who's leveling up there? Who's feeling good? You know, so kudos. And yes, that right there, if people could work towards doing that more, gold.
Yeah. Amen. Fifth and final one is one of my favorite ones, is support their goals, right? So if you can get all these four, then you're on your way of becoming the best version of yourself, the best spouse, and then more fulfilling, more happy life, right? Because like you said earlier, I'll be completely transparent, man. When things are good, when things are great, when we're working on our marriage, when we're being intentional about it, we're plugging ourselves into these environments, dude, like, it allows me to come alive. And I share this from time to time, social media outlets, and I even preach it. And so supporting their goals, that's just the cherry on top, right? If my wife has an event, DECA, or she's got a HYROX event or whatever it may be, show up for them. I know people in my life that, you know, acquaintances, and just watching their actions, right? And they don't show up for each other.
Mm.
And I'm sitting here scratching my head. I'm like, man, you're going to be with this person the rest of your life, right? And so I don't spend a lot of time on that. I spend a lot of time dissecting my own life. I'm like, okay, well, I want to make, because I learn from other people, right? I learn from mistakes and what not to do. And so I'm like, I want to show up for everything for my wife. And I'll give a quick story just for press for time, and I'll let you in with the support the goals. My wife, she spends a lot of time, energy, and effort being a DECA advisor and leader at her school, in the Woodlands High School. And she spends so much time, energy, and effort, right? Not even focused on the money. She's focused on impacting and serving these kids. She spends so much time, energy, and effort with the stuff that goes on behind the scenes, right? Like, for instance, here recently, they just did a banquet. And she asked me, she's like, hey, do you want to come to the banquet? And for the last however long she's been at the Woodlands High School, half a dozen years, every single year, I've been there. I've shown up. I've sponsored. I've done everything I possibly can. Not just like, yeah, babe, great job. I'm going to support your goals. I got you from behind the scenes. No. What are Sean's actions? Yeah. Right? What is he actually doing? I've sponsored DECA. I've shown up. I've supported her. I've had conversations with her. I've listened to her in the ups and the downs. and I've hired some of her DECA students so they could come and intern. So to me, that is what is all about as a man, as a husband, to support your wife's goals. Like, what are your actions? There's a difference between what you say and what you do. Be in action, support their goals, show up. If they have a competition, if they have an event at their school, whatever it may be, plug yourself in, show up when you don't feel like it. But that's what's going to help level you up, you know, as a husband.
And what you're saying there, man, we're saying support their goals. That means, and what you just, everything you just described is being selfless.
Yeah.
To support their goals, that means you'd have to stop thinking about yourself for just a second.
Yes.
To think about what's going on over there with them. Have to give up your time to go be there because you could have been doing something else that you like to do, right? And that is beautiful, man. And yeah, I think to sum it up, for me on the support the goals would be that it's the outward expression of love, right? It's the outward expression of, well, selflessness, right? That's how you know if someone loves you or not, right? That's how you know their words are true. It's when they give up what's good for them, what they want for your sake, your benefit, right? And I think that's just the like you said, cherry on top. It's beautiful to be able to do that. And why do we say all this today? All these 5 points: communication, active listening, empathy, forgiveness, support their goals. It takes a lot of work, a lot of energy, a lot of self-reflection, a lot of reality checks, right? And I'm talking to myself too, right? But what do you get? What do you get in all this? You get this relationship with your wife that's not just surface level, oh, man and wife do things together. This is heaven, heaven on earth, paradise, right? When you have that connection, that trust with your wife, it's worth it. So
yeah,
on that note,
awesome,
level up and live.
Level up and live. Thanks for tuning in to Level Up and Live podcast. If you found today's episode valuable, make sure to subscribe to the podcast for more insights on personal growth and relationships. Leave us a review. Follow us on Instagram, YouTube, TikTok, and Facebook for daily inspiration, and share this episode with a friend who's ready to strengthen their relationship. Remember, your partner is not just number one. They're your teammate on this journey called life. Level up and live.